Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Week number two of Purpose Driven Life. I hope you were here last week. If you weren't, we just really want to encourage you to go back and watch the message online or listen to it online as we're approaching this subject. It's such an incredibly important thing that we're doing as a church. Let me just give you a couple caveats before we get into the meat of this. Number one, we've reordered the service a little bit this morning. We're going to be spending time loving God and worshiping God at the end of the service. So when I finish speaking from the Word of God and give an invitation for people to receive Christ, don't pack up and leave. We know what time it is. Stick around through the end. I'm telling you, just stay and get the full experience of what God wants to do in your heart. Also, I just want to give you a brief caveat about the book, Purpose Driven Life. You know, I almost hesitate to do it, but I want to do it because sometimes people can be confused. There's just, you know, Rick Warren is such a phenomenal minister, and I just love his ministry. So this is not a criticism, but I just want you to understand that there's a part of the book that I would have a concern for you. He approaches a certain subject from his denominational background, and it's basically that God will bring tests into your life, even evil into your life, those type of tests to teach you. Well, the book of James says, "Let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted by God. For God does not tempt anyone, nor does he tempt anyone with evil." And so, but yes, are there tests in life? Absolutely. They don't come from God. Now, there are tests of obedience. God did test Abraham in that he told him what to do, and Abraham had to obey the Lord. So in the context of obedience, everything's a test. And those, quote, tests come from God to honor and obey the Lord. Every step you're asked to do from God is a test. But in the sense of evil coming into your life or tragedy coming into your life, God doesn't bring those to you. So I so almost hesitate to do that because I don't want to feel like that I'm diminishing the book at all. I think it is one of the most incredible books, apart from, of course, the Bible, that's ever been written. And that's why I want to encourage you to take the 40-day journey with us. There's a morning reading. Today is day 8. You can follow along in the book. And we're only 8 days in. You can catch right up to us. And I just really, I wish I had ways to, just with language to encourage you enough. But you're going to be on the earth 10,000, 15, 20, 25,000 days. You can live on the earth. If you live to be 80, you're going to live 25,000 plus days. It really makes sense to take 40 of them to find out why you're here. Now, the scripture says in Revelation chapter 4, God said regarding him, "You, God, you created all things, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." So we know from last week, and we don't have time to reiterate this, but that we were created to be loved by God. God made you for his pleasure. The reason you were created is because God wanted you to be the object of his love, the object of his affection. That's why you're created, for God's very own pleasure. And yet there's a flip side to that, is that God wants us to love him back. You were created to be loved by God. And loving God is called worship. You were created to be loved by God. Now listen, loving God back is what the Bible refers to as worship. Worship is knowing and loving God. That's all it is. Now, if you're not careful, you'll define worship by things that can be expressions of worship, but it's not worship in and of itself. People will call going to church. Are you going to worship this weekend? Well, going to church is a form and expression of worship. A child's getting baptized. Well, that's worship. Or a certain event that's spiritually significant. Probably the most common way we refer to as worship is singing. You know, people will say, "Well, did you get to church in time to hear the worship?" Now, worship isn't something you hear. Worship is something you do. Now, can I just take a minute and talk to you about worship? Okay, I'm going to do it anyway. But can I just was asking for permission? But worship, listen to me, is not a style of music that you like. It's a heart that you bring. You know, people have. All the different preferences in this room about worship styles. What you like, what you don't like. They're as varied as every person sitting in these seats. There are people that come to the church and they'll stop me and they'll say, you know, I missed the day of the hymnal. They missed the sound of turn to hymn 365 and you hear as the hymnals come out of the seats. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Oh, we will come, and somebody up in the road, oh, we will come rejoicing. Now, that might be funny to you. That might be obsolete to you. But you know there are people that when they sing that, they are loving God with all their heart. And there's nothing wrong with that. Then a bunch of hippies got saved in the 1960s. And you know, those are the same people that criticize the worship today. Style. And it's all y'all's fault anyway. And a bunch of hippies got saved in the Jesus movement. They started bringing tambourines to church, clapping. Oh, this is the day, this is the day. And all the people that were in the hymnal said, that's evil. And then the 70s and 80s, and you had Hosanna music and integrity music, and it was more melodic, and it was full, and you had orchestra feels, and it was awesome. And then we moved into Hillsong. Darlene Check. How do you say her name? What's the song that she wrote that everybody loved? Shout to the Lord. But listen, every time a new style comes, the people who liked the style before say, I don't sense. Did worship minister to you today? And then we went to Hillsong United. If we're going to go by preference, I'm the senior pastor. If we're going to do anything that's by preference, we are going to bring Don Francisco here to sing in church. He's alive. He's alive. How many of you ever heard Don Francisco sing, he's alive? It's an awesome, long Don Francisco. So I don't know who he is. That's wrong. So, but yet, until you understand, worship isn't a style. The whole premise that I didn't like worship shows you don't even understand what it really is. Worship isn't about what you get. It's what you give to God. Worship is loving God back. It's not a style that you like. There is a great worship writer, Matt Redman. He's written wonderful songs of worship and love toward God. He attends a church in England, or did at the time. And the church became a center for people who loved worship music, because you know you had some of the most talented people on the planet showing up there. And the pastor began to realize that our church seems to be, and I'm paraphrasing, worshiping the singing. And he said, so what we're going to do is we're going to stop all the music. We're not going to use any music. We're not even going to use any microphones. We're going to take a season. I don't know if it was weeks or months. And all we're going to do is sing these songs without any music. And we're going to love God just from our hearts. And he just wanted the church to understand what true worship is. And out of that time and that season is a real popular song that we've all heard. When the music fades and all is swept away, and I simply come. How many of you know the song? Wanting just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you require. You search much deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to a heart of worship. So you see, when you make your preference God's anointing or what God showed up for, you deify your preference. And in actuality, when you do that, you're putting God's stamp of approval on your selfishness. The worship today, people will come, I didn't like the worship. I like the worship. You missed the point. Worship isn't about what I like. Worship is when I come. It's not what I come to experience during that section of the service. It's what I come to bring God. That I pour my heart out to you, Lord. I love you. You say, well, I don't know if that song, I don't even like that song. Then don't sing the song. Lift your hands and go, I love you, Jesus. I worship you with everything in my soul. But I've got to like the song before I can do that. No, that's mixed up. Mixed up and messed up together. Mixed up. This is messed up. Worship is your number one priority and purpose in your life. Worship is built into the DNA of every human being. We were made to worship as human beings. You can go to any culture in the world. You can go to cultures in the past. And you'll find some form of they finding some type of deity to worship. Maybe false gods, but they're going to worship something. In the absence of worshiping a, quote, God, man will default to worship himself. That's what's happened in our culture. In fact, it's become so pervasive that if you watch any type of the talking heads on television, any kind of news, whatever, you'll find people literally demeaning anybody who believes in a living God. That it's kind of like, well, they're just pitiful people. And the fact of it is, they don't worship any God. No, you're right. They worship themselves. And it's the rot of every culture known to man. The greatest rot of any culture is when man becomes the object of his own worship. That's the world we live in. I wonder what it must sound like to God when people talk about what they know happened 14 billion years ago. Today, scientists have discovered that 13.6 billion years ago, a star burped. And really? Look, I'm all for scientific conjecture. I'm all for theorizing what happened. And hey, that's fun and that's interesting. But can I tell you something? Nobody has a given clue what happened a billion years ago. I don't care where they went to school or who taught them. What must it be like the God to hear his creation point their finger and say, I'll tell you all this happened. See, be very careful that you don't let these issues, I'm telling you guys, worship is what you bring to God. It's built into the DNA of man. You were made by God to worship. And in the absence of worshiping the living God, the true God, you'll worship yourself. Romans 12:1 tells us this. Because of God's great mercy, listen now, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. Now listen, this is the true worship that you should offer. Everybody say true worship. Now listen, this is the true worship that you should offer. Worship is my response to God's love for me. How many of you know God has everything? God has everything He'll ever want. You know the only thing God doesn't have is your love. It's the only thing He has chosen not to demand of His possession. God will let people be utterly stupid and talk stupidity against Him, and He'll let them do it. He'll let people hate Him. He'll let people curse Him. He'll let people make fun of His people. He'll let make people make fun of His name, as fun of His church. He'll let people make movies sexualizing the crucifixion of Jesus. And people will say, man, I mean, God just ought to wipe those people out. No, God loves those people. And you know what God doesn't have from those people? Is what Jesus died to provide for them. The ability for them to understand they are loved by God. And then to worship God and love Him back. And God will permit utter stupidity. Be really careful. Guys, can I be really plain as if I'm not normally? Will you stop watching 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news to people that you wouldn't let watch your dog? You wouldn't trust with your kids? And you let them fill your head with, well, you know, we know this, and we don't know squat. We don't know anything. Let me take the Bible interpretation of squat. We know in part, the Bible says. We see nothing in full. But God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Ancient of Days. He will always be and always was. And guys, and so easily we can do this. We can come before God. Instead of offering ourselves to God, which is the greatest thing we can do, is offer ourselves back to God in response to His extravagant love. If you're not careful, you'll let the stupidity of the culture get inside you. And you'll start to do things like this. Well, I need to understand that. And I need to understand this. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Jesus gave us the great commandment. And there are three things we want to look at within this verse about worshiping God. Mark 12:30, the Bible says, Jesus said, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Word made flesh, said this to you and to me. That we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and with all of our strength. That's what Jesus said. That is your main, number one purpose on planet Earth, to love God this way. Let's look at three lessons about this verse about worshiping God. Number one, worship is expressing my affection to God. This is what it means to love God with all your heart. God wants you to love Him passionately. The most important thing you can know on planet Earth is that God loves you. And the most important thing you can do on planet Earth is to love Him back. Now, sometimes we have difficulty wrapping our minds around what it means to love God. I want you to just take a look at a real short video of a little boy whose daddy surprised him coming home from, I believe, Afghanistan. Take a look, and then we'll pick this right back up.
Just look at him. Josh Carroll, an eighth grader at Lead Academy in Greenville, has no idea what is about to happen. His mother, however, does.
Damon Williams.
You see, Josh thinks he is just at another end of the 9 weeks awards program, but what he doesn't know is just outside the cafeteria.
Yeah, we're going to try to pull it off. He thinks I'm coming home in about 3 weeks.
Yep, his dad, Lieutenant Paul Carroll, is home from Afghanistan. Mom and the school staff planned the whole surprise.
Today we also want to pay honor and tribute to another type of service.
Now, the moment is just seconds away. The final award is for service to your country. Josh and his mom are called up in front of the whole school. Now, just watch and listen to what happens next.
Please make welcome back home, First Lieutenant.
That's what worship looks like. That's worship. That's exactly what it is. More than 1,000 words, that's what it looks like. You know, little boys don't like to cry around their friends. Neither do big boys. But did you notice that when he saw his father, he loved him with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and all of his strength. And he didn't care who was in the room. See, a lot of us are from denominational backgrounds that taught us to be more subdued. I grew up in the church where I grew up. Listen, if somebody sneezed, everybody stopped. Achoo, 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 achoo. And so we come to church and, no, listen, this boy loved his father. He was passionate about it. That's what it means to worship God. That's what it means to love God. To have that. In fact, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus gave us a real simple principle about loving God. He said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, if we're not careful in the world we live in, Jesus in Matthew 6 was teaching about all of us having needs in our life. He said all of us have needs of food and drink and sustenance and well-being and things that we can even worry about. All of us have these things in our life. And Jesus said this, he was teaching his disciples, he said, do you know that people that don't know God, they give their lives for these things. They scratch and kick and pull and do everything they can, and they worry themselves to death to get this stuff. He said, but not for you. He said, I want you to seek my kingdom. Everyone say first. Say it again. First. Put me first in your life. Put me first, my kingdom, my righteousness, and all this other stuff that everybody's fighting for, killing for, pontificating for, I will give you. See, God said, I desire to bless you. But don't seek His blessing. Seek the blesser first. The word blessed means to be envied. Do you know God wants to have such an intimate relationship with you that your relationship with Him impacts your life to such an extent that you live a life worthy to be envied? That's what He wants you to live. That's what He wants me to live. That's why He said, see, listen, worship is putting God first in everyday life. Exodus 34:14 says this, He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you. Hosea 6:6, He said, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. God does not want a religion or a religious experience with you. He wants to be a father to you. He wants you to operate in a father-child capacity. Now, you may not have had a good experience with your earthly parents. and this may be difficult for you, but your Father God, listen to me, has never done you anything but good. Life may have let you down. Things may have happened in life that have let you down. But God has never been anything but good to me and good to you. He's offered His very own life to pay a debt that He didn't know so that I could have eternal life and a life with Him. In fact, I hear an alarming trend in young leaders in the church today. And I don't mean this as a criticism. I really don't at all. But it seems to me that they talk about God like He's this distant kind of figure way out there. In fact, instead of doing... Do you know when they asked Jesus, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. What's the first thing He said? Our Father. Now, I grew up a Roman Catholic, and that's what we called the prayer, the Our Father. Now, you Protestants called it the Lord's Prayer. But we called it the Our Father because it was a head start on the prayer. You guys said the Lord's Prayer and then had to start. We said, Our Father, which art in heaven. Bless your hearts. But Jesus said, let me tell you, the first thing you need to understand when you talk to my God, when you talk to God Almighty, I'm dying and paying a price so that you can call Him Father. And yet I hear so often, oh God, we come to you, God. Oh God, like it's like you're, oh God, 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 God. No, Father, where you run off the platform and you jump up in His arms. If you listen to how people pray even, that we change the tone in our voice. God wants you to talk to Him like you talk to anyone else. He wants you to be yourself. But many people approach God. You know, I didn't grow up with wealth. I was a steel mill kid in a steel mill town. My dad, all my uncles, my uncle, my grandparents, my great uncles, they all worked in the steel mills. But I had watched some television shows of kids that went to boarding school and their families were opulently wealthy. They had stuff out coming out of stuff. And the kid goes to is at school and his dad shows up to see him. Hasn't seen his dad in like 6 months. Because, you know, dad is very busy and he sent Junior to boarding school at age 12 so he could be educated. And he sees his dad. They haven't seen each other in 6 months. The kid sees his father and walks up and goes, hello, sir. Hello, son. How are you? Fine, sir. And it's like, all that money and you living that stupid? Your kid calling you, sir, you got the whole world and you don't have a kid that you can go hug and grab his face and bite him? They might as well shoot you. That's how many Christians, that's their walk with God. Hello, sir. Hello, son. Now listen, guys, this is really, really important stuff. He's not sir. Now don't misinterpret this. He's God Almighty. But He paid an awesome price so that you could call Him Father. This is so important. The greatest way to love or to worship God is giving your life to Him. It's in every parent's life. How do you express love to your children? It's not just, love you guys. It's, you live your life. You go to work. You pay the bills. You buy them clothes. You educate them. They go to college and they cost you tens of thousands of dollars to get educated. Then you get a text. We want to go to Chipotle. I don't care. Why? Because you give everything you have. You love them with all you are, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I mean, we've had, Michelle and I don't know, it seems like 10,000 conversations a week about one of our kids that we love. Whether something that's wonderful or something we want to help or something we're concerned about. When you love like this, you pour your life loving God, worshiping God with all your heart, is pouring your life into Him. It's the first purpose of your life. This kind of love is called worship. And it's the very first purpose of your life. Romans 6, verse 13 says, give yourselves completely to God since you've been given new life. Now, most people conclude they can't love God this way. They do so because they figure, well, I can't love God enough. I don't have a love God button that I can turn on. But the problem isn't that we don't love God enough. The problem is we haven't been persuaded that how much He loves us. That's why He said in 1 John 4:19, says we love Him because He first loved us. Worship is a love response, not a religious response to God's love for you. 1 John 4:10 says this. This is real love. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Worship is focusing my attention on God. That's the second thing that we find. Loving God with all your heart. And now worship God with all your mind. It's focusing all your attention on God. Worship is the focus of my attention on God. It's what it means to love God with all my mind. Now, you understand, as a Christian, God does not expect you to check your mind at the door. But He does expect you to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. God doesn't just want you to love Him passionately. He wants you to love Him thoughtfully. We are called, we are commanded in Scripture to love God with our minds. We are called to submit our minds to God. That's why Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on things that are of the earth. And there are two practical ways you can love God with your mind. Two practical ways you can worship God with your mind. Number one is, every day of the world, spend time reading your Bible for yourself. To put some scriptures, not, you know, my 18 chapters that I have to read in 36 minutes and then I got done, I'm done. God, leave me alone for the day. But find scriptures. Read out of the book of Psalms, out of the book of Proverbs. Read something out of the New Testament every day. Find a verse that struck your heart and think about it throughout the day. Spend time praying every day. Well, how do I do that? Talk to God. So I don't know how to do that. Yeah, you do. You ever talk to people? No, just talk to God. And learn to give your heart to Him. Talk to Him. Oh, listen, how many of you bathe? Okay, if you don't bathe, don't raise your hand. But how many of you bathe? Most of us get, unless you have little kids, you probably get to at least bathe alone. Where someone's not bothering you, right? But here's the deal. Do you know you can worship God and talk to God while you're in the shower? The other stuff you do that no one bothers you, you can talk to God. It doesn't have to be a 12-hour event. It just needs to be a daily event. That's a practical way to worship God with your mind. Matthew 6:6 out of the Message, I love this this paraphrase, says, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God. You will begin to sense His grace. You can do this anywhere, guys. It doesn't have to be some special ceremony. It just has to be honest. And will you be real? Don't use a spiritual voice. Don't start talking to God in Elizabethan English. Really. I've been in places where, Bob, would you lead us in prayer? Yeah, man, I'd be happy to. God, shan't we come to Thee this morning with thoughts displeasing in Thy sight, oh God? Cometh Thee into our midst. Bless us now, O God. Bob's done. He goes, hey, what do you guys want to do when we're done? God's like, hey, Bob, what was that? I don't know who that was. I never met Bob. Every time Bob goes and talks to me, Bob goes weird on me. God, I got news for you. Listen, I don't mean this to be critical. People will come and they'll go, I don't appreciate that we're not using the King James Version of the Bible. You don't. How many of you know God doesn't speak Elizabethan English? How many of you know Elizabeth came after Jesus? I've had people actually say to me, I want to preach out of the Word of God that Paul used. There weren't one by then. And Paul was alive. Elizabeth came long after. Anyway, don't use Elizabethan English. So I wouldn't be tempted to do that. Do you all know what I mean? Even preachers do it. I mean, and a pastor will normal to talk to you, then they get preaching. And I tell you today, hallelujah, ha, ha. And God, ha, said to tell you in the name of, ha, ha. Now, nothing wrong with preaching. But guys, can you imagine I go, Michelle, ha, I got to tell you, ha. People look at you funny. Can I tell you what it all comes down to? Is that I come to this conclusion, either as a pastor, either as a minister, either as a person praying, is that I just can't be me and God love me. I got to be something more than me. I got to tune up and get some kind of weird voice. I got to tune up and do this. And pastors do. And the main thing, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but God says, whole denominations of pastors, that when they learned to preach, they were taught to preach, at the end of every word say, ah! Who does that? I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just simply saying that it gives the image that God isn't cool with just you. He died for you. He loves you. But He wants you to love Him thoughtfully. The second thing is this. In loving God with all your mind is that you must submit your thought life and the way you think to the authority of the Word of God, not the stupidity of the culture. And I don't care how edumacated they think they are. The Bible says this, is my paraphrase, that when you remove God from the equation, utter stupidity will follow. That's a paraphrase out of the book of Proverbs. And it's true. You take God out of the equation, people go stupid. I mean, 1 + 1 becomes 9, and they divide it by 8, and then before long, it's 96! You're like, how'd you get to 9? It's 96! How do you know? Because in 17 billion years ago, man, and you're like, what? And they just add stupid on stupid on stupid. And before long, people are like, well, you know, scientists discovered. Really? How many of you know a scientist discovered something and God went, what? Really? Anything we discover is like taking a 10,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, having 5 pieces of it that are legitimate, and telling you what the whole intimate detail of the big picture is when you've got 5 pieces of the puzzle. And how do I say this politely? That's stupid! And it is arrogant, and it is man-centered, and making man his own God. It might make you feel good, but it'll make you feel good and be stupid. Worship God with your mind. Submit your thought life to Him. And it's a battle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, we are to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we are to bring captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're called to lay your thought life at the feet of the Word of God. And if you want to know what God says about marriage, that's what I've got to think about marriage. What God says about raising kids, that's my view. What God says about money, that's my view. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in this arrogant stupidity. And I have people do it all the time to me. I'm not being critical. They're welcome to it. Pastor, I've got a question for you. Not, hey, I have a question. And I always start with, I might not know. Because I've learned not a lot, but I know I'm not God. I've got a question for you. And if you'll answer this question, I'll worship God. You're never going to worship God. Because I'm not answering your question. I'm not God. Job got into some trouble. He started pontificating. His friends got together. And you talk about stupid on steroids. Job's friends said crazy stupid stuff. Job's wife went up and said, dude, just curse God and die. Finally, Job's asking God, he's telling God, God this, God, and finally God shows up. And he didn't answer one of Job's questions. Here's what he said to Job. Where were you when I put the stars in the sky? Where were you when I flung the moon and I put the sun? Where were you when I put the sun? Where were you when I divided the waters? And Job went, this is a paraphrase, that was stupid. That was stupid. Forgive me. Guys, can I tell you, don't wait till when you see God face to face to submit the way you think to Him. But I can tell you this, I don't care who you are and what you believe, when you drop dead and you see God face to face, your thought life will bow its knee to who He is. A person who worships God wisely in the first purpose of their life does it by choice to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Thirdly and lastly, we are to worship God using our abilities for Him. This is loving God with all your strength. You love God passionately with all your heart, thoughtfully with all your mind, and practically with all your strength. It's one thing to love God with words. It's another thing to show God that you love Him through your actions. I want to just put this on your calendar. I'm just take a moment and tell you about it. February 9th, here in this room at 6 o'clock in the evening. That's a Sunday night. I'm going to be having a time where I'm going to ask you to come, and I'm asking you to go on our website and RSVP because we'll have some refreshments. And I'm going to be sharing the next 10 to 15 years of this church with people who really want to love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. That means that you want to use your time, your talent, your money to do something that's lasting for God. There'll be no offering received at the meeting, so don't be nervous. But let me tell you this. We're going to map out the next 10 to 15 years, what it looks like, the legacy initiatives God's put in my heart, and how we're going to reach those objectives, and we're going to touch generations for Christ. And if you want to come to that, it's February 9th. Get it in your calendar, Sunday night, 6 o'clock in this room. RSVP on the website. I'll give you more details as we get closer. But let me tell you this. God wants the first of me. And listen, God wants the best of me. That's using my abilities for God. Colossians says this, chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you were working for the Lord and not for people. See, whatever you do with all your heart, guys, and not for people, that's worship. You can worship God in your marriage when you love God with all your heart. When you treat your wife a certain way as unto God, whether she deserves it or not, you're worshiping in your marriage. When you treat your husband in the right way, not because he deserves it. Ladies, come here. He'll never deserve it. You married a guy. That was stupid. You married a guy. What did you think was going to happen? Do you think he was going to turn into a girl? He's a guy. Nothing that makes sense to you ever makes sense to him. He said, well, you know, I didn't know he was that stupid. That's why you get married young. The other day I saw on the news, it was like breaking news. Some little girl that used to be in some sitcom when she was 11 made this ridiculous statement that she submits her life to her husband. There were like news programs about it. That's antiquated. And what woman in the 21st century would say? A woman with a brain submitted to God. But by the same token, God tells her husband, you love her to the extent that you lay down your life for her. You die for her. And then he tells the woman, submit yourself to that kind of love. And then he says, now be mutually submitted to each other. Isn't it crazy? We have a culture where people, they're dropping like flies in their relationships. And they boast about what they know about marriage. They can't hold a marriage together with baling wire in both hands. And yet they're going to laugh at God's way of doing it. And there's this precious kid, I don't even know her name, and she's like, well, yeah, that's, I'm a Christian, that's how I live. Can I tell you something? Don't you ever be influenced by the cultures. Because you're going to drop dead someday, stand before God, and that ain't the time to be going, Because guys, I'm going to tell you something. You stand before God, it's either going to be well done or well done. Listen, man, there's a heaven and there's a hell. I don't like that. Don't care. Listen, loving God with everything in you. Don't compartmentalize your life. Love God with all your strength. Don't have a church face, a work face, a social face, and a home face. Don't compartmentalize your spiritual life. Worship is when you experience God and invite Him into your everyday life. Real purpose-driven living, real loving and worshiping God doesn't really only happen in church. It happens in your everyday, mundane parts of your life. Real worship is not an event. It is a lifestyle. And when you do everything for God, then everything you do becomes worship. And you will fulfill the first purpose of your life. And one of the greatest mistakes we make is when in this life is when we miss our first and primary purpose, which is to get to know and love God. And I want to so strongly encourage you. How many of you have jobs that, I don't want to get you angry here. So how many have jobs with bosses or people you work with that are less than desirable? And you go there every day and your stomach churns. And here's how you pray. Take him out, Jesus. I've heard Steve Moore pray that in his office several times. Listen, do you know that no matter what conditions you work in, no matter what conditions you find yourself in life, that I could say, you know what, God, I'm going to serve where I work, not based on the type of environment I work in or the person I work for. I'm going to work as unto you, and you will bless me. And I'm going to worship you in everything I do. And then everything I do becomes worship. That's why Romans 12:1, paraphrased in the Message Bible, says this: take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. An offering of your life is your highest form of worship. It's offering you to God as your highest form of worship. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great grace that's upon every heart and every life in this room. Thank you for your incredible mercy, your incredible grace, your incredible kindness. And Lord, we submit our lives to you with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to make certain before we go any further in this morning service that you know what would happen to you if you left planet Earth. Jesus said there is a heaven to gain. Jesus said there is a hell to shun. And he paid an incredible price and an amazing debt so that you could have eternal life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know that if you died today where you'd spend your forever, with every head bowed and every eye closed, in a moment I'm going to ask you to consider this opportunity. And I'm going to ask you as well for our congregation, please stay through to the end of the service. We're about to enter into something that's going to be sacred. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, I want to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He promised he'll come. He turns no one away. No one. And all you've got to do is invite the living God into your heart by making Jesus the Lord of your life, and he comes. You are not a Christian because you're born in America or you went to church or were baptized as a baby or a member of a church. There is salvation in no church, no sacrament, no denomination, no minister, no pastor, no priest. It doesn't exist. There's salvation in one name. His name's Jesus, one person. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ and you want to pray with me today and say, or you're not sure, say, Pastor, I want to pray to invite Jesus into my heart. I want to make him the Lord and the Savior of my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, he'd say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I will pray for you right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I won't embarrass you. I won't single you out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lift your hand up real high, and I'll pray for you right now. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. If you've not raised your hand yet and you say, Pastor, please include me. Listen, you say, well, I know now you're not going to embarrass me or single me out. But so you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Lift your hand real high and I'll pray for you as well. Do it right now and we're going to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord and King. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.